Odyssey Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion. And now we got the bass banging from head to Buckingham Palace. They're all moving. Hey Simon, working them up, turning them psycho. Everybody rock, lifting the house down. The rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it.
Morning everybody, happy Friday. Let's see. Today, we got Jason Smith in the next segment. Jason will join us to talk about all manner of things. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the NBA playoffs, pizza, and other important matters. A little drizzly out there today. And then we had the news, which, let's be honest, Jeffrey certainly has known about. Some of us have known about. But I guess now that the column is up and... it can be, I didn't expect to be talking about this today. We got a lot of sports to talk about. We got Memphis football's kickoff times, Jeffrey, if that intrigues you. We certainly have the NBA finals are set and more. But since it impacts sports fans in Memphis and impacts everyone who listens to 92.9, you'll have a chance to talk about this later. But Mark Giannato has posted a column saying that this is his last column for the Commercial Appeal. And I gather this will be, today will be his last radio show on 92.9.
Indeed, today is the final day. The last day, truly, Giannato and Jeffrey.
Giannato and Jeffrey, G&J.
Mm-hmm.
How long a run has it been for G&J?
So Mark did the math. I think it was 5 years last week.
God, really?
Yeah. Which also stunned me.
So, I want to talk about Mark here and his work in Memphis and everything else in just a moment. But what had just happened? The Daily Memphian had started. Mark became the columnist at the CA when I left the CA. But then what had just happened in radio that created this particular space that you and Mark then occupied?
So... Eric decided...
It was when Eric left.
His son was getting older, and he wanted to be able to do afternoons and stuff, so he wanted to be with his son a lot more.
And so were you just doing my show at the time?
And then I was the lead fill-in, and because
Eric... The lead fill-in for everyone, and Eric traveled a lot, so you
correct.
Did Eric's show a lot.
Exactly.
And so then Eric, who was becoming independently wealthy...
Yes. And Black Tie Moving was doing well, yes.
Eric was becoming independent. It was a hell of a juggling match when you are a play-by-play guy and you're trying to be a dad and everything else. So he stepped away.
Yep.
And they came to you, and you and Mark created...
Well, it was a little bit more dramatic than that. Remember, this was one time they wanted to try to expand Gary's show to 3 hours. And
yeah, that was part of it.
Then they were like, they were kicking around an idea of like doing a 1 hour gambling show that I was.
And I'll be honest, I was not thrilled with the idea that you, because like, and this is on at the time, I mean, the Daily Memphian and the Commercial Appeal are competitors, right? And so we just are. And even then it was more, back in the early days of the Daily Memphian, it sort of felt was more energized and bitter. You know, I don't think it's bitter now. We're just competitors. Like the same way I was doing a story on Superlo and I was over at the grocery store today. Superlo and Kroger are competitors, right? But so you're just natural competitors. I didn't love the idea of the producer of this show also doing the show with Mark. That seemed weird to me, yeah. Right? It is honestly a tribute to you that you have made that work. Like, you know, I'm really no longer the sports columnist at the Daily Memphian, but you're working alongside the sports columnist at the Daily right. Memphian and the sports columnist at the Commercial Appeal, and we're each like ducking out at various times to work on other stories and everything else. In the end, it was no big deal. It was fine. I mean, it might have been hard for you, but like, it is odd, weird, and you have a slightly different role on the two stations. I mean, on the two shows. But so they created the show, Jeffrey and Giannotto, more than 5 years ago. 5 years
I think
ago,
it was 5 years ago. I think it was last Monday. Was 5 years ago.
Okay, so for the avid listeners of 92.9, and we know there are many. Legions out there who have it locked in on their car radio all day long or wherever they're working all day long. What's the plan for your show?
So we're going to, starting Monday, we're going to kind of rebrand it. It's temporary.
Uh-huh.
In the interim, it's going to be Jeffrey and Company. And Jeffrey and Co.
Company.
So
the old interim tag.
Correct. So we'll be inviting other people to guest hosts. Like Connor's going to do it next week. Then
Connor's doing all 5 days?
Yeah. Connor will do next week. Then DeMichael Cole's going to do a week. We also have Drew is going to do a week. David Cobb is going to be in town a little bit. He'll
really?
Do a week. And then, you know.
And then you'll figure it out after that.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun.
That's the month of June right now.
Basically, you'll have a revolving,
correct,
entertaining cast,
yes,
of perspectives, and then you'll figure out where it's going to go from there. So you can read Mark's column. I don't want to speak for Mark, obviously, and Mark will be here today.
He will indeed.
And are you going to have like a cast when people do the goodbye show? You're going to have like, you know, Penny stop by and Ryan Silverfield stop
for sure.
by.
Yeah,
everyone will give them their parting gifts mm-hmm. and all of that. Somehow it doesn't work that way for sports columnists, particularly if you've been called upon to be critical of people at various times, as well as praising people at various times. You're going to take calls? You're not going to, are you? You're not going to take calls.
The one thing that we're going to do is Connor's going to come back for a little bit.
Is there going to be a cake?
I have not gotten any.
Gabe's the only one who's ever gotten a cake.
Yeah, I've not gotten a cake.
All right, so Connor's going to stop by because Connor was the producer of the show.
Correct.
When it was
launched.
Get the old gang back together.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. I always think it's kind of tough because you don't want it to be like self-congratulatory at the same time.
No, but you do want to mark things.
Exactly.
And you want to, like, mark, as it were. But it's funny, I did it. Mark happened to call me yesterday, and he said he didn't want to write a goodbye column. You know, like, and I totally get that. Like, particularly if you're a journalist, it's not really about you. You know what I mean?
It's
about the thing you write.
It's not supposed to be.
What?
It's not supposed to be.
It's about the things you're writing about, and to write the whole, like, goodbye, I'm heading off, whatever.
Praise me.
It's the, I'll give the CA lots of credit because they wanted me to write a goodbye column, even though I was leaving to go to a competitor. I didn't mention at the time where I was going, but here's the truth. Mark has been here for 7 years, right? 7 years, I think. And he has had an impact on this place.
So what was Tubby's last year? Because I think that was Mark's first year, I think, was Tubby's last year.
I mean, I literally remember taking Mark. I remember going out to lunch with Mark when he was interviewing for the job. He had been at the Washington Post, and we needed someone to cover Memphis Tiger basketball then at the CA. And God bless Mark for seeing the opportunity, right? You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's a little Justin Fuente-esque or whatever. You know, like, you see this opportunity. You're at the Washington Post. You got to convince your wife to move to Memphis. And I'm grateful that Lindsay you know, saw the wisdom in that and saw the opportunity in that. But then the old cliche about how if you hug Memphis, Memphis will hug you back, right? If you wrap your arms around Memphis, Memphis will what? The reason that it is a cliche is it's true. It is just true. And I was kind of, it's funny, I was texting back and forth with Louis Graham, who's the managing editor at the CA back when Mark was hired, and he sort of said it's amazing that he was here this long. And I got to tell you, I was amazed he was here this long, because normally when you're progressing your way up, whatever else, you say, I'll stay here for a couple of years, and I'll make a joke, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, for all the criticism that Memphis gets, and I will acknowledge the problems are real, I am always so happy to come back to this town when I've traveled somewhere else. And very recently, both Claire's son, Nathaniel, and then there's another distant relative who we met recently named Sam of Claire's, who grew up in North Carolina, and he now teaches at East High School. And both of those people, Sam and Nathaniel, will just bubble over about how much they felt welcomed in Memphis and how easy has it been to live in Memphis and how great it has been to live in Memphis. And so if you open your heart to this place, as Mark did, it has a way of getting into your skin. It just does. And I think, and I'll let Mark speak to it, I suspect it was not an easy decision for Mark to decide to leave. As he said in the column, Lindsay, his wife, has family in Chicago. And once you have three kids running around, like, you start to get overwhelmed. And I'll let Mark just, you know, discuss what went into the decision. But he opened his heart to this place. He dug in and busted his ass. And I am certain that if you are listening to this, there are columns that Mark has written that you disagreed with, maybe within the last month. That goes with the territory of being a columnist. If you're any kind of a columnist, you will not write columns that everybody loves all the time.
If you're good.
If you're any kind of decent columnist, if you're good, if you're provocative and thoughtful and whatever else, you will not be loved 100% of the time. And the abuse can get a little much sometimes on social media. But as a colleague, and I was Mark's colleague at the Commercial Appeal, and I've been Mark's colleague here at the radio station, I deeply appreciated working with him. We covered Tubby's last year together. I was the columnist. He was the beat writer. I remember being with him down at the AAC tournament where all that weird Tubby stuff was unfolding, and David Rudd was maneuvering to get Penny to be the head coach, and it was all incredibly awkward. But we were breaking stories left and right on that, and fun. It's fun, honestly, when you're covering something. And then, here's the truth, like, when we started the Daily Memphian, we wanted Mark to come over and cover the Memphis Tigers for the Daily Memphian, but the Commercial Appeal very smartly decided, why do we need to go look all around the country for a columnist to replace Calkins when Mark's right here? And it only makes sense if you're being offered that job for Mark to stay. And then he's carved out his own territory over there. He works his ass off. The thing with Mark is he'd always find the best stories because he'd always work to find the best stories. And that would come up in different places. The place where it would come up more than anywhere else almost was the golf tournament, because the golf tournament is a pain in the ass to cover because you're out there all day long. And honestly, on a Thursday or a Friday, no one really cares who the leader is. So you're looking for some compelling story. And I just spent...
You're looking for anything.
And I'd spent my, you know, every day wondering what the hell Mark was up to. And was I going to be able to find as compelling a story as Mark was going to be able to find? Because you knew Mark was going to find compelling stories.
Yeah, he's a grinder.
He is a grinder. And And so I appreciate that, and I admire that in a colleague and a competitor. And he and I have different styles, obviously, in certain respects. But I think he's done a magnificent job for the CA. Honestly, as the CA has been losing numbers steadily, there have been a lot of really good people over there, continue to be good people over there. But Mark's one of the people who it's felt like has held the place together. And there are others, certainly, but Mark is one of the people who is really, as their numbers have dwindled, who has made sure that the quality of their work has not dwindled.
I mean, he took on essentially the role of not only being the columnist and the section editor.
He did a really great job at the CA, and so I have nothing but respect for the work that he has done, and more to that, the way that he embraced living in this city, because it's really fashionable now to crap on this city, and that's true if you're outside of the city. And it's true if you live in the city. And I am, and then, of course, I'll tell you that the two things in his column today that struck me most, I knew that his three kids were born here. I didn't know he got his first dog ever here.
Yeah. Remember? No.
I do remember it now.
We were somewhere in Midtown eating, and
he'd never had a dog.
Yeah. And you, because you were like,
and he was quizzing. Like, I don't know how I'm going to be with this dog.
Yeah, because you were like quizzing, like, where did you get? We were like, was it Growlers? Maybe we were somewhere like in Midtown, and all of us were there. And I have a vivid memory of him announcing they were getting their first dog.
Yeah,
because they lived in Crosstown, I think, at the beginning.
They did. They lived in Crosstown, getting his first dog. Now that tends to be overwhelmed when you get your first kid, and then your second kid, and your third kid. The dog takes a back seat, but. This is a good. All his kids. Hopefully, all his kids. For the sake of Mark and Lindsay, I hope it's all his kids. All his kids will have been born here, and he got his first dog here, and he took the job as a columnist here. First radio show here. He did well by Memphis, and I have to say, Memphis did well by Mark. And so, I wish him and Lindsay and the kids and everything else all the best as they head off to Chicago. And I wish you the best as you host this revolving cast in June.
Well, I appreciate that. It's one of those things
I suspect it'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think there's always kind of an idea of something new, and you can kind of mold and shape it how you'd like. So that's going to be fun. But also, you know, you and I both like the idea of when you get other people in the room and kind of see what the energy is.
Yes, absolutely. And here's the other thing, is that we all like to think we're indispensable. None of us are. Life goes on.
Oh, you know what I mean? The show always goes on.
The station was going to fold up when Vernon left. And Jason and John come in, and they immediately improve the ratings. So it's life goes on. None of us are indispensable. I'm certainly not. And people continue to do good work wherever they go, whether it's Grind City Media for Mark to Chicago or whatever else. But none of us are... None of us are indispensable, and we're lucky to have these jobs. And again, I love the fact that once again, I've seen someone move to Memphis and almost become the best version of themselves in this city, because the way the city, the opportunities that are here in the city for people, if you open your heart to it. So anyway, I'll be listening from 2 to 4, Mark Giannato's last show. I suspect you'll have him back from time to time, don't you think? Occasionally as a guest?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's whenever
he's still going to be writing sports up in Chicago.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. But, yeah. I mean, they're also, I mean, you want to talk about flying by the seat of the pants.
Well, they're like, three kids, that'll do it.
And
you know?
they're trying to.
And now you're moving.
Correct. Trying to find a house and then getting a loan.
Absolute hell. Anyway, there is that. Once again, on today we're gonna have Jason Smith in the next segment, and then Chris Harrington. I was wrong about the way that series was gonna go. I basically said, listen, it's three coin flip games. You know, I never said that I thought Minnesota was gonna come back and win. That would be stupid. But I did not discount the possibility. until I turned on the game last night and saw Luka doing what he was doing. Holy crap! That was impressive, wasn't it? He's bombing him in from 30 feet. He's getting into it with the it felt like that game, 5 minutes in, you sort of knew it was over.
Luka outscored the Timberwolves in the first quarter.
Luka outscored them in the first quarter. Luka 20, Timberwolves 19 in the first quarter. And Luka and Kyrie together outscored the Timberwolves in the first half. Luka and Kyrie 44-40. 10 points in the first 153 seconds Luka had. It was something else.
I believe the stat was he made 165 feet of shots in the first quarter.
That was just a triumph.
And that was bombs away.
An absolute triumph. And wasn't it just 2 weeks ago that the Ringer said he was the fourth best player 25 and under? Fourth! What a disgrace. That was a disgraceful story at the time. Come on.
And then also, like,
he, by the way, even before this, he was the leading scorer in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just that was just nuts, and so it was something to watch, and it does appear that Luka and Kyrie seem to be working out pretty damn well together. After looking, you know, again, it was looking like a disaster at the end of last year. So the Mavs advance. We got the Mavs and the Celtics. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the Mavs and the Celtics and what we expect of that series. But you tell me. Luka having coming off the heater that he's on.
Yeah.
Is there a better matchup that could have emerged out of the West? Something that would be more intriguing to you? We've sort of known the Celtics are going to be there. Would you rather be watching Celtics-Denver? Would you rather be watching Celtics Timberwolves, would you rather be watching Celtics against this Luka?
I think this is the matchup I want.
You could argue for Denver. I mean, if Denver had made it this far, we would be seeing world champion defending Denver. But
I think I'm cool with this because you have the Kyrie angle. So, like, you're going to have the Boston bad blood with Kyrie, and I think that will be interesting to see how he handles that. But I think also this is interesting to me because Tatum's in that category of we know he's a really great player, but we're not quite sure what to do with him.
We don't put him in the same category of transcendent superstar even as Luka.
Correct.
Because he's always been one of two.
But this is as great of an opportunity as you're going to get. And then I think this is Luka's moment to...
Tatum is, if you look at the odds on MVP...
Yeah.
Tatum is the favorite, minus 130 is what I saw. Luka's the second, and then Jaylen Brown, and then Kyrie. But Tatum is the favorite. But that's partly because the favorite goes to the winner.
The series,
and so there's
correct.
Both, yes, exactly. So that's you do have, like, Luka's going to be going up against. We've heard it endlessly, and we heard it more last night, this discussion of whether it's the best offensive backcourt of all time between Kyrie, best scoring offense, you know, court of all time. But they're going against a backcourt, two players who both are on the all-defensive teams, Holiday and Derek White. And then Jaylen Brown, if you look at the past matchups this year, he's been the main person who's guarded Luka. And so they can still throw... They can throw any of them at him.
Yeah. It does feel like, depth-wise, it certainly favors Boston. Porzingis is likely to return.
Which makes a huge difference.
But it's like, what form is he going to be in?
Right.
You know, could that be a situation where it's like Kawhi, where Kawhi was trying to play, but you could tell, like, at that form that he was...
And Porzingis does two things. Obviously, he helps him to guard the rim, but then he'll pull those Dallas centers away from them because he's dropping in threes. And so all of a sudden, Daniel Gafford isn't able to be Daniel Gafford or, you know.
And it creates a lot more spacing for Brown and Tatum to slash.
They are going to have their hands full. But the number one defense in the league was Minnesota.
I mean.
It wasn't Boston. And Luka just did what he did.
Well, and there's this weird thing with Boston where we might look up, and if they, you know, they win this series in dominant fashion, we might look back and be like, was that like an unbelievably dominant team that we just kind of overlooked because their path in the East has felt so academic, right? Even, you know what I mean? Like, just it's felt inconsequential. There's no question the more tested team is going to be Dallas. But we still, like, you know what
the
I mean?
More
like,
interesting, Dallas winning would be more interesting because then you'll have the ascension of Luka and the complete absolute disaster and collapse of Boston. Like, they're supposed to win.
Correct.
So you'll have
especially
drama on
in
both
this
sides.
Season.
If Boston wins, it's a little less dramatic. You have Dallas, good for them for getting there. They had the transcendent moments from Luka and whatever else. And Boston, really the more interesting outcome would be Dallas winning, Boston losing. Because both sides of that are super interesting. By the way, I have some stats, Jeffrey, that I want to give to you. And do you have a pen?
I can get one.
Okay, get a pen. And again, these are rudimentary stats, okay? But I want you to tell me which of these stat lines are better. All right? So, player A in the playoffs, this is the stat line I'm going to write. 25.7 points a game, 9.6 rebounds, 8.8 assists. Okay? Got that?
All right.
Player B, 27.6 points per game, 7 rebounds a game, 6.5 assists.
I'd take player A.
Wait, no. Player C. Player C, 27.3 points a game, 6.8 rebounds, 8.6 assists. Now, is it obvious to you? Like, they're all pretty much, would you say they're ballpark? A player A is scoring 2 points a game less than player B and player C, right?
Basically. Yeah, like a point and a half. Yeah.
Player A, though, is rebounding
at least 2.5.
At a higher rate than either player B or player C, and has as many more assists than player B and a few more than player C.
So I'm taking player A because I think that's the most
well-rounded player.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say these three players are pretty much
those are all the same ballpark
players? Yeah. Do you have any guess who these players are?
So I'm going to say A is Tatum.
They're not all players in these finals. No, they're just two of these players are players who have appeared in this year's playoffs, and that's their playoff line for this year's playoffs. One of these players is a player who has not appeared in this year's playoffs, but is their career playoff line.
All right, so is one LeBron?
Luka is one. Luka is player A. That's his line. Luka's averaging 25.7 points a game, 9.6 rebounds, 8.8 assists. Player B is Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
27.6 points a game in this year's playoffs, 7 rebounds, 6.5 assists. Player C, Ja's career playoff numbers. 27.3 points a game, 6.8 rebounds, 8.6 assists. And I guess my point is this. Luka has been freaking transcendent, right?
Oh, yeah. This is his coming out party.
And that's his line. Anthony Edwards is the next Jordan, according to everybody.
Uh-huh.
Right? Right? And that's his line. Ja Morant's career playoff stats, right there with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely right there with him. Like, and Luka is the transcendent superstar of superstars. Now, Anthony Edwards is the next Jordan, and there's Ja, literally right with him. And yet he's utterly forgotten.
That's just the nature of the NBA. We spend so much time in the NBA of trying to, like, who's next.
But it is a reminder. Like I was someone recently said to me, a journalist said to me, If I were you, they are still writing sports columns. I just write about how Ja has missed his moment and he's been completely overshadowed by Anthony Edwards. And he has in the national populace. And Anthony Edwards, by the way, better defensive player, like in all of this. But yeah, he has been overshadowed because he's not playing.
Right. That's the huge part.
Right. But when he, here's my point. Whatever you saw from Luka last night and what you saw from Anthony Edwards, whatever, the Grizzlies have one of those. They have one of those. A little, it does it differently. We'll see, you know, what the future brings. But whether it's Jalen Brunson or whether it's Luka or whether it's Anthony Edwards or whether the Grizzlies have one of those dudes.
Yeah.
No, I do think it's easy for people to forget that.
No, the biggest problem that the Grizzlies have had is, A, Ja hasn't been on the floor, and then it's been also been a long time since we've seen them at their best.
It has been a very long time. Yes, it has been a very long time since we've seen them at their best. Do you have a, I mean, we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, as we got now a little bit of a wait. Do you have a prediction for the series? You'd take the Celtics, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's going to be...
You're going to say Celtics in seven? Celtics in six? Celtics in six? You're going to say Celtics in six?
Yeah, I'll probably lean six, but you could talk me into five. I just think the depth... I think the depth's going to be a real problem.
This is it. You disappointed in Minnesota?
I mean, last night was just a no-show. I mean, that was...
In the face of that onslaught, yes.
Well, and then, like, when you talked as much as you did, was it just like, hey, we just didn't get swept?
I'll be interested. I was really, like, they literally just beat the defending champions, and they beat one Game 7 in Denver. You know, like, what they did was impressive. They swept the Suns. And I give Chris Harrington all the credit in the world, because before... Although he picked, at that point, he would pick Minnesota. I think most people were picking Minnesota heading into this series. Chris did say on this radio show, I wonder if there's going to be some kind of a hangover, like having...
For sure.
They did not look like the same team in this series.
Well, I think also the other difference was, you know, as great as Jokic was in that series, his other guys did not play well. And then the key difference to me in this one was... Luka was the best player, and then Kyrie was probably the second best player.
It felt like, though, Minnesota overwhelmed Denver defensively, physically,
well, like
their
you
length,
didn't...
all of that. Whereas it didn't seem like there was nothing overwhelming about the T-Wolves defense last night.
No, and then, but you also look back, you know, and a lot of times in these series, it's like, okay, when you, in a seven-game series, when you let game two get away in the fashion that they did, and... You know, you have three fourth-quarter leads, and you don't hold any of them.
It takes the wind out of you.
Correct.
But still, last night they should have been restored. Last night was their night to shift the pressure onto Dallas, and Dallas just wasn't having it.
Well, I mean, the best player was on the other team.
Right. All right, Jason Smith coming up next. We'll talk to him. Oh, we got some Hard Knocks news that has some relevance to Jason Smith. We'll talk to him about that, Memphis Tigers, and more. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. I will remind you that if you want to wager on the NBA Finals, you can do that over at FanDuel. And indeed, if you are a new customer, all you got to do is place one little winning $5 bet, and you get $150 in bonus bets to bet on whatever you like. You like Jason Tatum as MVP? Go ahead. Wager on that. He is your favorite. No better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book, FanDuel. It's safe, it's secure, you get your money fast. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 and older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable. Bonus bets expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Gabe Kuhn Show.
Mike Norvell on X at Coach_Norvell. Coach, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Definitely an honor to be on your show, brother.
How about it, man? Who knew? Who knew? Not me. Not me. Not you either. How about that? Good Lord.
No, really proud of you, though.
Appreciate it.
Really proud of you.
Appreciate it.
You're off to a great start for your career.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show. Well, the only lineman on the radio, Gabe Kuhn. Weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Eliminate carbon and varnish deposits with Lucas Fuel Treatment at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply add it to your tank at your next fill-up. A clean fuel system can increase performance and fuel economy. Right now, get two bottles of Lucas Fuel Treatment for just $9 and get two times O Rewards points in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
It's time to get to Gossett Kia on the Pike so Bobby J can put you in your new Kia today. Want summer fun and 41 mpg? We Gossett with 2024 Kia Forte LXS. $199 a month, $34.99 due at signing. How about 282 miles of EPA estimated range with new 2023 Kia EV6 Wind, $249 a month. Get extra room and extra fun with 2024 Kia Telluride LX, $357 a month, both $39.99 due at signing, all 24-month lease. Plus 0% APR for 48 months available on the all-new Kia EV9. And peace of mind with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So hurry to Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike, online, KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Include all rebates and incentives. Price excludes 695 PF. Lease includes PF 695, 650 acquisition fee, EV6, P561-0964, MSRP 50,200, Telluride RG 510-849, MSRP 38305, Forte LXS RE 78169, MSRP 21820, plus finance through Hyundai, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 5/31/2024 with approved credit, dealer stock only.
This NBA playoffs, FanDuel is giving all customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every single weekend of the playoffs. Just place the same-game parlay on any playoff matchup, and you will get bonus bets back. If you don't win, you win, great. You don't win, bonus bets back. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three-pointers and more. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is, of course, official sports betting partner of the NBA. That means it's safe. That means it's secure. That means you will get your money fast. Must be 21 and older or present in Tennessee. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour.
I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is rough. I don't know if you've been there in a while. They look like they're trying to go to business and they can't.
All new material.
They filed for bankruptcy and they're still open. They called Blockbuster and they're like, how do you get out? We want out.
Nate Bargatze.
Friday, May 31st, FedEx Forum. Tickets available at FedEx Forum Box Office or Ticketmaster.com. Produced by Outback Presents.
Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour.
At the Regional One Health Surgery Center, our focus is not only on healing, but getting you back to normal as quickly as possible. With expert surgeons and the latest technology, we offer the most advanced robotic and minimally invasive procedures. That means you get the most effective care with less time in the hospital and more time doing what you love. Regional One Health. Specializing in tomorrows.
Memphis, looking to shoot your shot? Long Shot at Arrive Memphis has you covered. Your game day headquarters for the Tigers and Grizzlies. Want to buy it before or after the game? Don't miss Long Shot's all-star food, classic cocktails, and game day specials. Looking for a place to watch all the action? They have multiple screens with shuffleboard tables, draft beer, and plenty of space for your team. Long Shot, open 7 days a week starting at noon Saturdays and Sundays on the corner of South Main and Butler. And don't miss their trivia night every Thursday. When you're looking for a game day spot, Long Shot Arrive Memphis is always a winner.
A peaceful trip to dinner, gathering with friends for coffee or brunch. If you're looking to meet your neighbors, an evening cruise by on a new EasyGo may just do the trick. With EasyGo, time spent with friends or meeting new people can be as simple as the turning of a key. Stop by Ben Nelson Golf and Outdoor in Memphis and check out their vast selection of EasyGo golf carts. Sometimes it's not the destination, but the journey.
Includes all rebates and incentives. Price excludes 695 PF. Lease includes PF 695, 650 acquisition fee, EV6, P56610964, MSRP 50,200. Telluride RG5-10849, MSRP 38305, Forte LXS RE78169, MSRP 21820. Must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 5/31/2024 with approved credit, dealers.com.
I got Jeff Allen on the line to hear about some crazy deals happening at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
Randy, I'd love to give all our customers our best deal. 2024 Kia Forte LXS gets 41 MPG highway, $199 a month, $34.99 due at signing. 282 miles EPA estimated range will get you where you want to go in the 2023 Kia EV6 Wind, $249 a month, plus a 2024 Telluride LX, $357 a month. Both $39.99 due at signing and 24-month lease.
And 0% for 48 months on 2024 EV9 and peace of mind with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, we'll make you happy, happy at Gossett Kia South on Mount Moriah.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful VC turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Is switching your wireless service to Total by Verizon easy?
Totalmente!
Now you can get 50% off any unlimited data phone plan. That's one line for only $25 a month, and you keep the phone you love. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. So find a store or switch suavemente at totalbyverizon.com. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. Promo subject to cancellation after 12 months. Available exclusively online and in Total by Verizon stores. Requires a compatible unlocked device and SIM. See TotalByVerizon.com for device compatibility and additional details. Taxes and fees may apply.
Baseball season is heating up. With the free Odyssey app, you can get the most entertaining local coverage of your team while you're at work or on the go. Stay locked in and in the know with your favorite hosts as they bring you unfiltered takes, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Don't miss any of the action. Stream the shows you love live or on demand with the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today for free.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, it's a sad day here at the 92.9 Studios because Mark Giannato has put up a column saying it's his last column at the Commercial Appeal. That means today is his last day of radio at 92.9. Jason Smith, every single day, it's less of a sad day for Jason in this way. It's your last day flying solo, right?
Yes.
11 to 2 every day by himself for the last, I think it's been 8 months.
It feels like 8 months.
And so John's going to be back on Monday.
Yes,
that's great.
Yes.
I did hear yesterday as I was driving along, you say, John didn't birth that baby. John didn't birth that baby.
Right. Right. Why does a man need
Sam birth
6 weeks? And especially one who's going to take it. Take all of it.
Yeah.
I've just never seen such an abuse.
Such an abuse.
Of the system.
Right. Of the system.
Right.
As we were talking, so this is Mark's last day here. You can tune in to the final Giannato and Jeffrey after you listen to the final.
I don't know if I'm looking because I listen every day. I'm looking forward to the last one. Dreading it. I think but I have to listen.
We got a new adventure. Listen, you know, whatever. Yeah, things are constantly changing.
Jeffrey, you guys are good, man.
What I realized though was that you and I have both been replaced by Mark Giannato.
Yeah, that's a little nugget for you.
A little nugget. You were replaced by him as
the Tigers beat writer.
Came here.
And then you were replaced.
And then I was replaced by him when I went to the Daily Memphian.
Yes.
He's replaced us both. You know, it's nicer to be
replaced. And shined in the roles, let's be real,
too. That's the thing. It's much better to be replaced by someone who's incompetent. And that way you can look back and you can say, you miss me now, don't you? And then once you're replaced by someone who's as good as Mark, that becomes it makes us feel more expendable.
I'm going to tell you the truth about why I used to hate Mark Giannato.
Why did you hate Mark Giannato?
Because after he replaced me,
Uh-huh.
And this is a story I probably shouldn't tell, but I'm going to
tell. Go ahead, tell it.
What I heard, and he may come on today and say that's not true. What I heard he was telling folks is I'm better than the last guy.
He did not say that.
Yeah, yes, he did. And here's the thing. And it burned my soul. This new guy coming in town, he's telling folks I know he's better. Oh. And here's the thing. Yeah, it burned me. He was. No, seriously. That's the thing. That's what I can truly admit and be totally honest. Mark was better. And very quickly, like I told you, he dug in. You said it, but I mean, the guy's a worker.
If Mark were a basketball player, one of the four, who would you come? Who's the comparable for either a Grizzly or a Tiger?
I don't know.
Is he a Tony Allen type of figure?
I don't. He's a dog.
He's more skilled
but one
than
who can
Tony.
Also score. Yeah. Yeah. So
I think he's Conley. I think he's Conley.
No, he's not Conley.
I think he's
the reason he's not Conley is he's more abrasive than Conley. He's got a harder edge than Conley.
That's true, but
you never respect Mark for. I don't mean that in a bad way, but Mark doesn't mind ruffling feathers. He doesn't.
Right, Conley doesn't want to ruffle feathers. No technical fouls.
Yeah, no technical fouls. You go ask Ryan Silverfield if Mark Giannotto commits technical fouls.
That's right.
I guess maybe Gasol because he thinks there's like a right way to do it.
Mark didn't mind if he needed to go crazy on the sideline, he'd do it.
I'd
say is some people dig in and they work to move up. You kind of touched on that. Outsiders come in to move up markets. Let me write a couple of award-winning stories. I'll dig in to do that right for my career.
Right.
Mark, won awards, did all that, but dug in. I thought to get to know where the hell he was, to get to know the people of the place, and a good columnist, a good reporter, which he was when he came here, does that. Mark did all the just a,
early
just
on.
A,
remember,
a
he
worker,
did that series on Penny's one. Team.
Oh yeah,
on the,
man,
on
the access he got is another thing. It's like, man, he's getting the inside stuff. Like some, you got to.
But
earn,
you have to ask. Here's for the access. You got to be trusted.
You
to
have
get
to
access.
Earn yep. trust to get that access. Yeah. And so Mark was always good at that too, is being where you needed to be to earn that trust. So I got nothing but respect for him. Respect
and particularly
Burger.
As someone, if you care about this city, and like you do, you grew up here, obviously.
Yeah, I grew up here.
To see someone who comes in and embraces the city and isn't just trying to use it to get out or isn't whatever, is actually, I there was a time when I thought Mark was going to be here for a couple of years, and then you see the shift that happens in a lot of people where they realize that Memphis is a place with more opportunity and promise and connection than they necessarily. Then there came this time where I thought, you know what? Mark might actually stay here. Like, Mark actually do what I did. Like, you might be, there are people, a lot of people who come here and they realize they fall in love with it and they become lifers. There's mm-hmm. that shift.
Sure.
And I saw that in Mark. I'm like, my God, he might stay. At this point, I was competing with him, and so I was not in favor of him staying forever.
Because there's only one of you that
came here and
stayed.
But no, I didn't want him to stay forever. Get the hell out of here, Mark.
I mean, again, it's a story much like yours in the sense that.
And then he's done a really good job. And obviously now he's got the three kids, and that's overwhelming, and family's in Chicago, and so off he goes.
You've said all the kind of, the only, dog. Dog.
He's Mark dog.
Also, a dog in the bedroom. Let's
well,
be real
I can't
too.
Speak to
the,
that.
Well, I mean, the evidence is there. Mark never stopped.
Relentless.
In the bedroom, clearly.
Okay, now, let me ask you this.
And I admire that.
How do you think, as someone who's had to carry a radio show now for the last 8 months without John, how do you think Jeffrey's going
to
fare?
Don't even go here. Nobody more suited for it. He does it every damn day, whether it's, you know, he used to host your stuff sometimes. He hosts so many times his own show without being out of. This guy. I've learned so much from Jeffrey in terms of first off, be prepared, right, for when the guy, no matter what comes at you, be prepared. But secondly, just how he never gets rattled.
Never complains.
Never just complains, never gets rattled. And that goes to the worker mentality.
Punches
but I'm talking about live, when things are going wrong.
Right.
And that whether that's in a producer role for you or more so as I've known, as a host, you know, sometimes a call drops, whatever else. Right. This dude is so cool under fire at all times. I have never seen this man rattled. Never. Even when he spilled like water on the board
in
there.
That was a day.
But he got it
Ray
done.
Was scrambling
and he
everywhere.
Got it back on. You cannot rattle this dude. And
what
so
was
literally
it he spilled?
Dr. Pepper.
It was Dr. Patty. I thought
all over everywhere.
All over everywhere. The dude was cool. We stayed on amazingly, and thanks to his quick smarts and everything else. But the dude has never rattled, and so I've learned a ton watching Jeffrey's going to be fine. Show's going to be great.
All right, before I get to basketball. Hey,
what's another reason for celebration?
Yeah. So
besides John's return
we have
on
this.
Monday.
We have the news that Hard Knocks is going to be in Chicago this training camp to chronicle Caleb Williams. Not since the last time, honestly, that they went to the team that had the number one pick as the quarterback.
Right.
That was Baker. Baker Mayfield, I think, was the
Jeffrey's
it
man.
Was Cleveland in 2018.
Right.
How was that? Was it a good? Was it a good Hard Knocks?
Oh, it was a decent.
What did he have weapons wise? That you know, any personalities that were back then?
So you
I
had,
can't remember what was on that team.
It was Hugh Jackson was the head coach,
yeah.
And it was weird to watch like him and Todd Haley. They butted heads. Then you had that fat offensive line coach that was great with the big mustache. That was a decent season.
How do you feel about this,
Jason? We've never been on. We've always been dismissive, and we've always been asked.
Uh-huh.
And we've always asked not to be on the list. And so that's the one thing.
It didn't sound like
McCaskey and the guy. They're not. They're, you know, nobody knows whether the NFL just forced us. That's what The Athletic wrote. Is that nobody really knows whether we were just forced to do it because we have been against it over the years.
Eberflus's quote is like, like we're going to continue to focus on the matter at hand or whatever. Like he very clearly chronicling the last year of Matt Eberflus doesn't seem to be going well with with Eberflus. But
that's fine. I'm not worried about Eberflus.
I would be psyched. And this is the perfect year because if you're. Like, if they were doing the Bills or a team that legit wants to win the Super Bowl this year, you might say, ah, is this good for the, you know, is this good? But
sure.
The Bears, it's you just want them to be better, and you want Caleb Williams to be electric. You want to make the playoffs, right? Isn't that kind of the goal? Like, you're not worried about the distraction.
I don't think, you know, you don't have your sights set on winning the NFC North yet. Detroit's too good.
Right.
They're a true Super Bowl contender. And Green Bay proved last year, as young as they were, with what they proved in the playoffs, like they're here, like they're not going anywhere. Hell, you make a case they could win the division. And so your sights are not set on that. Be third, but is there an opportunity to get three teams from the North? You won seven games last year without Caleb Williams. You did that with Justin Fields. You've brought in Rome Odunze to go with Caleb. You got Keenan Allen. You could make an argument. It's the best situation and setup in terms of weapons. DeAndre Swift in the backfield now, that's an upgrade. In terms of weapons that a number one quarterback has ever had, they're usually going into bad situations, rebuilds. Look at the Patriots. Look at the Commanders. Here, he's got all the weapons. So, man, we're the talk of the league.
I also think
I'm a little bit worried that could work against us.
I also think it's really good for Caleb Williams because he has been painted as a weirdo.
Yeah, by John Martin.
But also, John Martin's latching on to things that have been written about him, right? And yet, when you saw him at the draft, this is how it struck me. I'm like, oh, I thought he was going to be a weirdo. Seems like a good dude to me. Like,
well, you find out that there's a reason for the painted nails. You know,
right.
That his mom did nails growing up, and he was always in the nail shop. And it's really a tribute to her. You kind of when you find out more, like we did through the draft, about these guys.
He didn't
guys.
At all seem like a weirdo. Relating,
against,
he seemed to be relating
him.
To the other
or
players
crying
who were
in
drafted.
His mom's
yeah.
arms after a loss or whatever else. I mean, we really going to. But back to your point about weirdo, no, in terms of you saw the initial meeting with Odunze, and it wasn't
right.
the kind
totally
of,
cool.
hey, man, welcome to my team. It was, let's go be LeBron and Dwayne Wade. I mean, that's, you know, that energy
Caleb
looked good
Williams,
to me.
Which
like
is
a guy
the,
that can
which
win
is
locker
the main, which is the main show here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are you interested in seeing?
Odunze looks like a star. And again, he's going to be learning from two ones in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And
right.
so that process, because he's going to be a one eventually, that process I think will be fascinating.
I was reading a Bears writer today who said the secret emerging stars are going to be the safeties, that they're wildly entertaining, colorful. I don't remember the names,
the corners, Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson, the two corners. I think
it was safeties. We went and got
Kevin Byard, who may be over the hill
Byard.
At this
it wasn't
point.
Byard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And what is it, Gordon and Brisker, whatever it is. I mean,
you are decked out head to toe in Bears regalia.
This is actually my last show at 92.9. I'm moving up to Bourbonnais for training camp. Going to try to apply for a local radio
too.
Job up there.
We can't lose you,
don't
too.
Don't know if they need any brothers, but I'm certainly going to try.
Who do you want Penny to shop for? Who are you impressed that the reports are shopping for? Where's your shopping list?
I mean, the reports from our man Hitman Hoops, who I must say.
Hitman's making an impact.
Is he not a story in itself? Is that, you know, that he's like not here and we don't see him and yet he It is a weird
phenomenon, isn't
it? I'm so glad I didn't have to compete against that.
Against people who don't even have names just out in the vapors.
But it's real info in his case.
All right, so what's Hitman telling us lately?
That Penny's going to go after one of these wings.
And have you scouted them? Have you broken down the tape, the numbers?
No, yesterday I was saying Penny needs to be careful. I was with Mark. As opposed to going out and getting some guy that on paper replaces David Jones. And I realize you got all the money in the world for David, earmarked for David, sitting there now. You know, being careful about getting a guy that's going to come in here and think he's going to be David Jones and go right to number one in the pecking order. I think without David, you have to kind of start over and figure out what it is. And if you go out and get it, and you would have maybe had the same issues with David Jones, you know, just in terms of pecking order, is there enough balls to go around? We just saw where it was an issue last year. And so if you go get a guy who's going to come in here and think he's 1A, if you're telling him that, I mean, what is Tyrese Hunter thinking? What is P.J. Haggerty thinking now that David Jones is gone? And I just think in a year where you really need to bounce back, you know, you got to be careful. So I'm not against the kind of guy you bring in, but the fit. I mean, I can't say it enough after last year.
It's funny. It
matters.
I've been telling Gabe that Memphis is going to make the tournament, and I went literally when there were no players on the roster. I said that because Penny. The one thing I know about Penny is he's good at recruiting, and he's going to put together a roster that's going to make the tournament.
But always has.
The one thing we know Penny doesn't pay enough attention to, or seems to disregard, is fit. He has loved players who have been disruptive. He loved Amani. He loved Mikey, who was never here. He was still disruptive, even though he wasn't here. Yeah. He loved Jordan Brown. He loved, and he just likes the shiny object. He doesn't
seem to
pay attention to the fit.
I mean, a couple of years ago, it worked out well where the two shiny objects were right on top and everybody could fall in behind them and Kendrick Davis.
They were wired a certain way. That's exactly right. If you can go get Kendrick Davis.
That's what I've said is that if you could get something closer to that just in terms of roster makeup. Now, let's be real, what he's got is closer to last year's team where you got a lot of guys that were on the ball last year. You know, Colby Rogers, P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter all had the ball in their hands. And at one point, you thought you were going to put David Jones, who had the ball in his hands, in the mix with that. Now, whether it's what this white kid, Jameer Watkins, who's the other one? Kaluma. You know, those guys were guys who had the ball in their hands. And so it sounds like Penny is intent on, okay, we're going to replace David Jones. Again, because that's not a role player. You know, these guys are not role players. These guys could be 1A. Figuring all that out, you know, on the fly against, again, a tough non-conference schedule. It's not ideal for what, doesn't mean you can't do it, but not ideal for what I think needs to be. I mean, whatever. So, yes, you got to get back to the tournament. But to get the excitement back, to get, like, Memphis football's got to go
right
now.
When you asked me that question yesterday,
you need Sweet 16.
Yesterday, Jeffrey, Jason asked me, I'm on with Jason and John, and he asked me, he said, what's going to take to get the excitement back? Will it be
real?
And here's the sad truth. I don't even think of that as a possibility. Like I am so battered by Memphis basketball now that the idea of recapturing real excitement, so that people who have stopped buying tickets are going to come back and buy tickets and whatever. I'm just saying, let's avert disaster. Like, I'm not even looking to maybe.
Well,
I'm not
so
even
you're
looking
saying you
got to
get there first before you can get.
I'm not
the,
even
because
no,
in the end, you
I would
still
love it
need
if they
that.
Could.
Are you telling me you?
I
think
just don't think it's in the realm of. I don't think the second weekend is in the realm of possibility. It seems wildly unlikely that the second weekend. With
well, he's
this
made
team,
it hard having to replace so many guys two straight years.
That's
he's
the
made
thing.
It harder, and clearly he's made an effort in terms of these seven transfer portal guys that he's got. What is it? Maybe up to eight. Well, no, Daniel Vieira Tuck is not a seven transfer portal guys. He's made an effort clearly to get some multiple year guys, which we said was super important if you're going to ever have any continuity in this thing. Keep giving yourself multiple cracks. You need guys that are in the system for multiple years, like DeAndre Williams. And so, three or four of those guys have multiple years, and you hope they're here for that. That's going to be key going forward, to your point of it not just being getting back to the tournament. It's got to be better than that if you're going to get the excitement back, get people back bought in. Ryan Silverfield was at a spot where we wondered if he could ever get buy-in
back.
And
he did.
He did it.
He has.
It's weird how he did it. He was fourth in the American last year. That doesn't get people excited. He still hadn't even been to the
well, and also, do you think?
But the way it ended with the
bowl win,
something
bringing
back Seth. I'll be honest, I didn't think he could get it turned the way he did just off a Liberty Bowl win over Iowa State. But
do you think ticket sales are going to be up this year? Like, is there real excitement back?
Or I think
is there...
so, because of the possibility that you are the best in the group of five in a college football playoff representative. Right. I mean, that group of five representative.
All right, we got to take a break. Jason, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother.
Jason Smith, every single day from 11 until 2. We're going to take a break. We'll talk to Chris Harrington on the